on AM 1220. The Word. The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear you tonight. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on here this evening, and certainly hope you had a great day today. What a busy week this past week. I was going to share a few things. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, had a booth out at the Summit County Fair this past week. That fair just wrapped up here this evening, and I was not there today, but I was there Monday night setting things up. I was there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I took a little break Saturday evening for our church Friday night Bible study, and then I was off from the fair today, of course, for our church services on Sunday, and of course, getting ready for the radio program here as well. And so it just has been a busy week. Like I said, nothing a little sleep deprivation can't help. But so if you hear snoring on the studio here, I think Seth will throw something at me or hit the electric buzzer button on the chair here and wake me up. But well, we had a good time at the fair and met some people and talked with some people out there listening to the program, and hopefully talked with some people who might be listening tonight for the first time. And we had a great time being out there. We are going to have a couple things here going on this evening, and I want to let you know in advance, I'm going to jump ahead to the 11 o'clock hour. It's only 10 o'clock now, but we'll be on until 11, but I'm going to jump ahead to the 11 o'clock hour. Khalid Namar, Americans for Prosperity, the Ohio chapter, who's associated with, but he's also got a new program on our sister station, 1420, which is WHK Radio. We're WHKW Radio, 1220, but on WHK Radio, 1420, from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, Khalid Namar has a program, Rising Tides, and new program, and he had me on as a guest here in the last half hour. I came on about 9:30 or thereabouts, and it was over there, and once I got done there, come running over here, we were talking about virtue in America and the coarsening of society and what's happening, and he is going to be joining me here when his program in, so he'll be coming in the 11 o'clock hour. So we are going to continue talking about that. We'll probably touch on some of the same things, but for our audience here, but we're going to be picking up some information there, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned for that. But here in this hour, of course, we want to let you know about a couple of events that are coming up. I've got John Brown calling in here tonight. We'll get to him in just a moment. We've got a few other callers that are lining up already, and I want to also mention that you can check us out. I think I gave, website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the primary sponsor of the program. And there's a number of other things that are there. You can listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. If you don't hear our Friday afternoon program, they're there. If you're not able to stay for both hours of our Sunday night program, they're there. And plus, we've got programs going back for, I think, over 10 years or so. And then coming up in just, I think it's about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I should probably double check that. In August the 20th, will be our 17th anniversary of being on the radio. That'll be Sunday night, August the 20th. And so I remember we first started out thinking, well, if I can just make it through 1 year, I can say that at least we tried it. But we've been on, this August will have been on for 20 years. Or I'm sorry, 17 years. I look at August 20th there. And then a reminder about issue one and the election coming up on August the 8th. Very important issue. I want to share some information on that here tonight as well. Latest polling says that issue one, 42% support it, 41% oppose it, meaning 17% are neutral or undecided. And out of that, I believe it's 53% of Republicans support it, which means 47% of Republicans are either against it or just not sure. And from our time at the Summit County Fair, we also had a segment of our church booth devoted to issue one and advocating for it. I believe as a Christian, as a pastor, Christians need to be behind this issue. And indeed, you see the pro-life community, conservative Christians supporting it. The Catholic Church has generally been supportive of it. The ones who are not supporting it, the ones who are against it, are the ultra-left groups like the United Church of Christ, the University or Universal Unitarians, and some of those types of groups. But conservative churches are all pretty much lining up in support of this, talking with a number of pastors and church members of other churches. And keep praying for this, because that statistic shows we've got a lot to go. One encouraging thing of that, even though it said that 56% of Democrats oppose it, that still means 44% of Democrats are either undecided or not sure, or they may actually be a yes. And while we were out at the fair this past week, it was a privilege to be able to see a number of people who were kind of on the no side or leaning to a no. When we explained what issue one was and why we as a church and as Christians were very supportive of it, it was kind of interesting to see a number of people begin to realize they needed to support it themselves. And so we actually seen some people go from a no to a yes. And we also saw some people go from undecided to a yes. And that's very encouraging. When people begin to hear and understand what issue one is, oftentimes that's what you see. And to underscore why issue one is so important, the same polling indicated that 54% of Ohioans would vote for an abortion amendment in the fall. And currently, it only takes 50% plus one vote, which, based on the last general election, I think, or governor's election, equates to about 50.00001% of the vote. It's clear to see that under the current circumstances, it looks like the abortion amendment would pass. But raising it to 60%, which is where it ought to be, because it's the Constitution, not the code of laws, the Constitution being raised to 60% would hopefully prevent this radical abortion amendment in the fall that will take Ohio from a pro-life state, a strongly pro-life state, to a radical pro-death state overnight, overturning all state laws regarding abortion, basically ending parental rights and any state regulation of abortion with just the one amendment that's already slated for the ballot in November. But that's by no means the only reason that we're supporting issue one. Also, issue one gives a voice to all 88 counties. Rural Ohio right now typically is left out of the loop when it comes to the petitioning process for citizen-led petitions in Ohio. Issue one would require that petitions are circulated in all 88 48 counties rather than only half of them, 44 counties. And they, of course, they go to the 44 most populated counties rather than the more rural counties. And that's important for a lot of issues. Not going to spend a lot of time on that right now. And then, of course, we look at some of the minutia that's been included in the Ohio Constitution on page 120. Gambling in Cleveland is designated specifically as the first four floors, the basement, sub-basement, and mezzanine of the Higbee Building. So that came up with a question. If there's anybody out there who can get the name of the Higbee Building changed, and it became, I don't know, the Frisbee Building or whatever, does that mean that the casino in the Higbee Building would suddenly be illegal until they can amend the Constitution of Ohio? And whether or not you think gambling ought to be in Ohio, let's just say that the people want gambling in Ohio. The Constitution should not say when, where, and how, and who, and the what floors of the Higbee Building. It should say gambling is allowed in Ohio. Bing, that's it. I almost said bingo, but that would be it. And maybe it might say games of chance to include, but then the rest of it should be taken care of with the law. But see, California out-of-state interests in California came in and cashed in on the desire for gambling in Ohio, and they pretty much guaranteed to themselves a business monopoly in the Ohio Constitution. And that ought not to be the case. And so for that reason alone, to prevent things like that in the future is another reason I'm very strongly supportive of issue one. And so there's a lot of other things. Maybe we'll come out with some of those in the course of the conversation here tonight. But I did mention that there is something else going on in the area here, in the Akron area. And I have John Brown calling in tonight. We'll get to other callers here in a little bit. But John Brown's calling in. And for our listeners, you're familiar with John Brown. Usually calls in when there's a drag queen story hour somewhere in the area. And John Brown, are you with us there tonight?
Yes, I am. Well, Pastor, tonight it's sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh.
That's right.
As we sing in the song, we local Christians have been behind the heavily supporting of the local protests of several Northeast Ohio drag queen story hours. But I'm afraid it's hitting close to home right in our own county this time. We are going to be protesting an event on Kenmore Boulevard in the Kenmore neighborhood of Akron this Friday. That is going to be from 4 to 8 p.m. I apologize if this is all the information I have. This is just straight from the Eventbrite, web page that you can go to eventbrite.com, search for drag in Akron and see all of the drag events or wherever. And I managed to find this that way, or someone else showed it to me just a few days ago. I apologize for the short notice, but we're always playing catch up with these things. But anyway, that's this Friday, August 4th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at 930 Kenmore Boulevard, Akron, Ohio. Now, this is going to be during what they call Kenmore's First Friday, which I believe there's street vendors and food and entertainers and stuff. So there's going to be other people to see our gospel signs and to hear our witness other than just the people we're protesting at. There could be hundreds of people on the street here. I'm sure you've been down Kenmore Boulevard in the Kenmore neighborhood.
Yes, I have several times.
Yep. It's the heart of the Kenmore neighborhood. Kenmore is a former rubber workers neighborhood, just like many parts of Akron. Actually, it was originally its own city, but it merged with Akron back in the 40s. But there is a new bar called Whiskers and Wine, which is owned by a, quote, LGBTQ+ veteran. They check all the boxes. It's a cat-focused wine bar, I believe. I don't even know if they're fully open yet. I just remember seeing the newspaper article in the Beacon Journal about them opening soon, like a couple weeks ago. So mm-hmm. I don't even know if they're fully open for regular business yet. And they bring this straight to these people's neighborhood here in Southwest Akron.
Well, and it's like you said, Southwest Akron, the Kenmore area, that's not like Lakewood up here in the Cleveland area. Kenmore is generally thought of as a blue-collar, working-class neighborhood.
Sure. This is not the gentrified Lakewood or, where the Near West Theater that our fellow Christians have protested before, or it's not, or maybe in Columbus, or it's not that kind of snobby, super urban liberal area. It's just a working class neighborhood.
Right.
Several people who live in this neighborhood are shocked that such a place would open in their neighborhood, and I know some people personally who live there, and we have some Christian brothers who are, that are just absolutely shocked that this is going to be happening right down the street and during as if it's just a normal part of this, Kenmore's First Friday, and let me read the description if I could, right from their page. So I'm not putting, it says August Kids Day, whiskers and wine, drag story time, games and coloring contest. Our first ever Kids Day will coincide with Kenmore's First Friday on August 4th. Festivities start at 4 p.m. Kids are welcome all day. Monica Maud, which I presume is the name of the performer, if you want to call him that, will be performing a PG number for the kiddos and will be reading a book on caring for animals. There is a webpage. I can't read out the whole webpage URL here, but if people want to see this, you can go to Eventbrite, Brite.com, and search for drag in Akron, or you can go to, I use the tiny URL webs, URL shortening service, tinyurl.com/Kenmore Drag 1. tinyurl.com/Kenmore Drag 1, and that should take you straight to these people's page. As far as I know, they're selling tickets for this, and it's an open to the public, open to children event. Who knows what kind of stuff from this will spill out into the street. I don't know if the so-called performer will join the festivities out. None of us know what to expect with this venue because, like I said, this place just opened. Or might not even be fully open for business yet. I'm not sure. This is one of their first events.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you said because you had sent me some of this information earlier, and I was sharing it in our church today to alert people to pray for this event. But you read it there, and when it said festivities start at 4 p.m., then it said kids are welcome all day. Monica Maud will be performing a PG number for the kiddos. Now, I don't know about you, but kiddos to me doesn't sound like teenagers, does it?
Oh no, this is geared towards small children.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Coloring contest. They're doing a coloring contest.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm getting at. A number for the kiddos, but it's a PG number for the kiddos. This right there tells you that they're going to be pushing the envelope because PG movies, you're not supposed to take the kiddos, children without parental guidance. And in a lot of cases, I think parental guidance should say, no, you're not seeing it. But this is talking about a number that's going to be pushing the envelope if they're willing to say right here, it's a PG number. This means that you would think of this as being geared for older people, older, teens maybe pushing the limit, but that kids, small children should not be there, that it could be, something that would be something disturbing or difficult for them to understand or to process. A PG number for the kiddos, that if that isn't in your face saying that we're going to push the limit on your kids.
Yeah, it used to be when you wanted to advertise something as okay for small children, you say, "Well, this is going to be a G-rated event."
Right, right.
But now, I'm glad you got onto that because you're right. The term PG-rated means they're acknowledging that this is going to be pushing the envelope. They are certainly acknowledging that. Well, yeah, it's probably going to be offensive to some, but it's not going to be so blatantly offensive as to get us arrested. Of course, if we had the real rule of law in this country, these people would be arrested and their business shut down the moment they even announced this. But as you know,
well,
we don't,
It's just a symptom of the coarsening of society, which I'm going to be talking about in the 11 o'clock hour with Khalid Namar, and you know just how our society is just becoming more and more pagan all the time. You know, our church was out at the Summit County Fair this past week, and you know, I was talking with some of the people from our church as we were sitting there watching the people go by, and it's just the things that you see, and it was summed up best by somebody at church today who said, well, you know, the fairs, they don't have the freak show anymore. You know, where you used to pay so much to see the, you know, the odd people with odd characteristics and things like that. I said, well, yeah, they do. It's just that they're all out on display in the midway now. They're not behind, the tent doors anymore. They're all out in the open. And
yeah, I saw a cartoon the other day that it was the carnival manager telling the bearded ladies, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let you go because you're just not freaks anymore.
Well, you know, that's what our society's coming from. And I remember a missionary evangelist many years ago saying there's really no such thing as a primitive society. A society should be rated on how close or how far it is from God. And the further it is from the God, you know, the God of the Bible, the less clothes they'll wear and the more pagan practices that they'll incorporate. And that's what we're seeing today, isn't it?
It certainly is. Again, we're talking about the Whiskers and Wine bar having a drag queen story hour in Kenmore in Akron. This is much closer to home than the previous events we've announced. That's this Friday. You know, it's normally on Saturdays that we do this, but that's this Friday. And I understand some people are going to have a hard time, you know, maybe getting off work for this. But, you know, to be honest, Pastor, I know some people can't. Those of you who do have flexible jobs, you know, I think this is the kind of thing that's worth asking, you know, to take a half day off work for if necessary. Because, you know, Pastor, what I was going to get on to next, if I could, was Christians have had some success in pushing back against this across the country. We have seen dozens of these shows canceled or rescheduled or backed out completely. Obviously, you know, our fellow Christians and, you know, other concerned citizens got that bar in Wadsworth.
Yes, I was going to say, we saw it in Wadsworth.
We had to resort to having it in a public park in an open pavilion in March. So, obviously, you know, which was far less suitable for them. And I'm sure that, you know, for anyone who was at Wadsworth, from what I understand there, it was just a noise fest all the time. There's no way they peacefully enjoyed having their little show with people screaming at them with megaphones the whole time. But, you know, so, I mean, we can do something. Yes, you know, we know the course of prophecy. We know the prophecy is being fulfilled. This is the Greek falling away. This is God's judgment on America for our apostasy. But we can have some measure of success, like you've said before, putting in the tides coming in, but we can just put out sandbags. We can't stop the tide, but we can put sandbags around our little corner, you know, brighten the corner where you are, as the old song says. We can hold back some of the tide for a little bit longer just so we can have just a little bit more time to peacefully, you know, exercise our Christian faith and peacefully raise our children to fear and love the Lord and to peacefully be able to witness the gospel to people whose minds aren't completely twisted by this satanic culture that we're in. We can do something. So, you know, any of our brothers and sisters who at all can be out at these things, you know, there's more of these coming, you know, later next month, I believe, and we'll advertise that when the time comes. But, you know, we really can. We can do something, and not only that, this particular one, there's probably going to be a large number of people who are going to out there, and they're going to see Christians standing there peacefully, boldly proclaiming the word of God and reproving evil and warning of God's judgment. And maybe that's who we're actually called to be out there for. Because I don't know that we're going to convince the parents that are taking their kids into this. But what we might see is the passersby, they're going to see Christians actually standing up and putting their money where their mouth is and, you know, putting some skin in the game, as they say, to stand up to this stuff.
One that might encourage some, too, to realize they don't just have to roll over and let it happen.
One stiff spine strengthens another, as they say.
Yes. Yeah, well, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour of the break here pretty quickly. And again, if somebody wants to help out, somebody wants to protest, what's the best way they can go about doing this?
Well, for this particular event, you can just meet us out there. We have plenty of Not Gospel signs. The group that has the big banner might be showing up, for all we know. I believe they're planning on being there. We have plenty of signs. You're welcome to bring your own gospel signs. If at all possible, please show up. If not, pray that, we have good weather, that the police are favorable to us and allow us to exercise our rights without, any kind of problems. Pray for physical safety, for spiritual well reception. This is on 930 Kenmore Boulevard this Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. I know that's a long spread, but that's all the more specific time we have. That's this Friday, August 4th, 930 Kenmore Boulevard. We'll be protesting a drag queen story hour right in our own, the heart of our own county.
Right. And if they should cancel this event, what will you be doing?
If they cancel with a couple hours notice or something, we'll cancel the event. We don't have any kind of web page for people to look at. I gave out that URL is tinyurl.com/KenmoreDrag1. Or you can just go to the Eventbrite website and search for Drag in Akron, and eventually you'll find it. The name of the place is Whiskers and Wines. It's not on their website. It's only on this event listing site.
Interesting.
Which is commonly used by these types of events and other things. But if the event is canceled, then, of course, we'll stand down because, objective achieved. If they cancel with 20 minutes notice, then we're already there or on our way there, well, we're going to, we'll probably stand out there for a little while. And maybe if that happens, we'll convert from a protest to Christian street preaching since we're already there during this event.
All right.
We can have some tracks and everything. But Pastor, I know we're running out of time. Thank you for giving me so much of your time. Thank you for what your people did at the fair this week. I know that was a lot of work for you and your people. God bless you, Pastor. And thank you for your time.
Well, John Brown, thank you for calling in and keeping our listeners posted on some of these events. And even if people can't show up, they can certainly pray, as you said, for your safety and that you'll be able to reach people with your witness there on this coming Friday night. Thanks again. We'll be hearing from you again in the future, I'm sure, how these things are going and with future events. So thank you so much for calling in tonight. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We just heard from John Brown about the Kenmore Drag Queen Story Hour this Friday, 4 to 8 p.m. this coming Friday, August the 4th at 930 Kenmore Boulevard in Akron. All right. Well, we're going to be taking a break in just a couple of minutes. I think we got, 2 minutes left, I think, Seth. Less than 2 minutes. All right. Well, we've got John and Nancy who are waiting for us patiently on the phone. I don't think we have time to get to either of them right now other than to say hello. So if John and Nancy can hold on, we'll pick you up after our break. And again, our phone number here tonight, if you want to get in, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll take your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. As I said, after 11, also Cleed Namar of Rising Tide, a new program on our sister station 1420, WHK 1420. He will be joining us. He's in his program right now. I actually was on with him at 9:30. 9:30 till about 5 till 10. So I came into the studios early today so that I could join him, and we were talking about the decline of virtue and morality in America, and we're going to be continuing that discussion in the 11 o'clock hour, so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But in the meanwhile, we're going to take a short break and give you a chance to stretch your legs, but don't go away. We've got another hour and a half to go of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. I've got some information about some different things there. There's a list of some past programs. I did a program recently with Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, a half-hour program on Friday, June the 30th, on why Christians ought to be concerned and supportive of Issue 1. Did a program on July the 14th with Mike Gonadakis, president of Ohio Right to Life, and again talking about the pro-life position, why the pro-life community is almost, and there may be some outliers, but nearly all of them supportive of Issue 1. And that's available, another half-hour program. Also on the 14th of July, I had done a program. I was on as a guest on North Coast, for the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz, pastor of North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. And Pastor Lutz and I spent the half hour talking about, from a pastor's perspective, why we support Issue 1. And so You can find a lot of good information there and some links to some other things all there. That's on livewithpastoral.com. And there's some other places, of course, that you can go. Ohio Christian Alliance has a great handout that you can use as a bulletin insert. You can print it, ohioca.org. Thing that I like about it is it gives the text of issue one and then summarizes what it'll accomplish. So you can find all that and more at livewithpastoral.com. Listen to past programs linked to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Well, let me go ahead and jump in here to some other things. Our callers, that's the other things I need to get to, because we've got a busy night tonight, and we were out at the Summit County Fair all this past week, and certainly discussing issue one, sharing the gospel with people, and before I grab our first caller, I have to let you know we were playing Atheist Bingo at the fair. We had a little thing somebody downloaded. We had it taped up on the back of our board, and it's like a bingo sheet, and we were checking off the skeptic and atheist responses that we got. You know, things like God is mean, and who created God, and things like that. And I believe we had too many denominations checked off. I Like Abortion was checked off. Out of Context Bible Verse was checked off. Let's see. I think we had just had a number of them. If God is real, why am I gay? I think that might have been checked off. Different ones we had checked off, but it was kind of fun getting the arguments. The first day of the fair, I was still setting up, and I had some woman go, why is there hate speech on your table? I'm offended. And so it was kind of interesting. I knew exactly what she was talking about. We had a track that said contradict, and it was done like the coexist thing with the religious symbols, only it said contradict, and it had John 14 where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I just knew that was a track she was talking about, and I asked where the hate speech was. She picked that up, and she said, you're saying that not everybody is right. If people don't believe like you, they're going to be punished for all eternity. That's not nice. You can't say that anybody else is wrong. You can't be judgmental. I'm offended. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm offended. You're offending me right now. I find what you're saying very offensive. You're telling me that what I believe is wrong, and I'm not allowed to believe it. And you're judging me as a hateful bigot right now. I'm really offended. You're really offending me right now. And I don't think she knew what to make of that right at the start. But she soon regained her composure and began lambasting me as to why it was okay for her to call to judge me and tell me I'm wrong and I'm not allowed to believe what I believe, while saying that nobody's allowed to tell anybody that they're wrong. I might finish the rest of that story a bit later, but those are the kind of things you expect. And that's why we had our atheist bingo card up on the board there at the fair this week. I don't know what our final score was, if anybody got an actual bingo, but it was kind of fun, made it kind of interesting. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. We've got John, who's been patiently waiting, and we'll get Nancy here in a minute too. But John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am well, a little sleep deprived, but other than that, how are you doing?
Okay, I agree with you that America is becoming pagan. I can't believe the number of women that have pagan tattoos on their body now.
Well, you know, you have to stay tuned in the 11 o'clock hour when Khalid Namar comes on with me. We're going to be talking about much of those sorts of things and where it came from and how America has gone that way. And hopefully looking at some things that we can do to help turn America around. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, be salt and light in the world, isn't it?
Right. And it says in the end times that the stars would fall from heaven. I wondered if you thought that that was what the phenomena that we are seeing today.
Well, And when you say seeing today in particular, what are you referring to?
Well, they had a government committee investigating these unidentified objects in the
sky. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, the Bible says in the latter days there'd be signs in the heavens. And at livewithpastoral.com, I actually have a link to an article, Are We Alone?, where I discussed the possibility of, you know, life elsewhere in the universe. And I encourage people to check that out. But it's interesting. We do see in the book of Revelation, for instance, in the, let me just take a quick look here. We have in the book of Revelation and chapter number 8, I think, let's see here, where we have the angels sounding the trumpets. And one of them talks about, the stars fallen here, I think it is. Let's see. We have verse 10, third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Name of the star was Wormwood in verse 11. And there's also another one. I'm just missing it here as I'm thumbing through here that talks about other stars falling. Maybe that was, but
it was in the Gospels. Jesus is the one that talked about it.
Yeah.
He said the sun would turn dark, the moon would turn blood.
Right. Right. Blood. Yeah, and John echoes that in Revelation 2 there. In fact, in Revelation, and you mentioned that right there, Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, it says, and fourth angel sounded, a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And in other words, got dark and everything like that. But stars, it's an interesting term in the Bible when you look at stars. A star was essentially any point of light in the sky, although elsewhere in the scriptures, the morning stars refer to angels. I believe it's in Job, the morning stars that sang, you know, when they witnessed as God, you know, created the physical realm, the angelic realm, you know, the spiritual realm had already been created, and the angels, they sang and praised God as they watched him create the physical realm, and so they were called, stars. But when we're looking at the stars, like you're talking about, that Jesus mentioned in the Gospels and John mentioned in Revelation, you know, typically what they are referenced to, stars that fall, obviously it's not like our sun or Antares or Betelgeuse or something like that falling to the earth. The earth would fall into them before that took place. What it is, it's falling stars, meteors that we see. And it can even be comets, because a comet was called a hairy star because of the trail coming out from behind. It looked like the hair of a woman blowing in the wind. Falling stars were called falling stars because they were falling from the sky. Wandering stars are what planets were known as, because they kind of moved around in erratic fashion. And then you had the fixed stars, which are really the more, what we think of as an actual star as opposed to a planet or a meteor or a comet. So we do see stars falling several times in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, as a type of judgment, and it will happen in the tribulation period as a type of judgment. And so Jesus did talk about that in that sense. I'm sorry, I can't hear you there, John.
I'm wondering if the fallen angels are coming back to earth.
Well, some of them will be. In fact, Revelation tells about that in chapter 13, where the devil who currently has access to heaven, that access will be cut off. He goes there to accuse the brethren, and he's going to be cut off and cast down to the earth and cause a lot of problems here. And then we've got other cases in Revelation where some that are currently confined are going to be released. And so we will see a lot of that during that time. But I do think that we see, you know, signs in the heavens right now. And you talked about the UFOs and things like that. I believe that essentially that these UFOs, there's several explanations. One of the big explanations, it's simply ours or some other country's secret craft and technology, aircraft of some kind, spacecraft of some kind of technology that we don't know about or that our government doesn't want you to know about. And it's just like when the stealth fighter came out in the 1980s. I know some people who were working on, actually in the 1990s, I think, when they finally admitted they had it. But in the 1980s, they were flying them out of Nellis Air Force Base. And whenever they flew, people would call the Air Force Base saying, "Are you testing some secret aircraft?" And, of course, they wouldn't say, "Yeah, we've got secret aircraft out there. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret." They denied it. So it was a source of a lot of UFO reports at that time. I'm going to have to wrap up here with us, get some of our callers here in a little bit. Our phones are lighting up here tonight, John. You started something here for us. So we have seen these signs. I believe fallen angels are responsible for some of these as well. They're trying to confuse people, and when you look at people who are supposedly encountering extraterrestrial beings or being taken into their ship for whatever reason. Oftentimes, it's very rare that religion ever comes up, but when religious topics come up, the one thing they all seem to hate is the Bible and Christianity. That's kind of an interesting thing. Well, that would point to perhaps the fact that they hate the Bible and Christianity because, they are unsaved. They're fallen angels. So again, John, we appreciate some of that information there and questions that you had. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al tonight. And I want to get Diane next. And Diane, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, good evening.
About Romans 1:16.
Romans 1:16.
Yeah, the gospel is the power of God into salvation.
Right.
So I was just having a disagreement with someone that said that you had to be born again to be a fisher of men. And I said I didn't totally agree with that because of Romans 1:16, it's the gospel and not the person. So maybe to make a disciple, yeah, I would say that, someone needs to be born again. But that's a whole other issue. In other words, it's the gospel that's the gospel.
Right, right.
And so a non-believer can preach the gospel. I mean, I don't agree with the Catholic Church, and I think that some people have gotten saved because they hear the word of God.
Well, and you bring up a good point. Let me spring off from that for just a moment. Our church, as I said earlier, was at the Summit County Fair all this past week. We were passing out gospel tracts that have the gospel message. And there are people, I know of people, who, and some of them are actually in the ministry right now, because they read a gospel tract, and they saw the word of God in that gospel tract, and they put their faith in Christ, just like you said in Romans verse 16 here, where it says that it's the power of God unto salvation. And it was the word that reached them. And here's where I want to spring off just what you were saying. Is that piece of paper that makes up the gospel tract saved? Obviously not, right? It's not right. Even alive.
Right.
But the message that's on that tract, that message is alive, and that dovetails with Jesus in John chapter 5, where he said this, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." Now notice, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He didn't say, "he that heareth my word" from a born-again believer.
Right.
He said, "he that heareth my word." That's the key. Now, I think it's more effective when it comes from a born-again believer.
Right.
And I think the born-again believer is the person who probably would have more of a desire and a burden for sharing the gospel with right. people. But obviously, and I use the example of the gospel tract, even though it may seem somewhat facetious, the paper is not saved, but people reading that gospel tract, they're exposed to the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that God uses to save that person. You know, I've seen people come to Christ and you know, be saved, put their faith in Christ. And they were saved not because of me. They were saved because of the Word of God that I preached.
Right.
And, you know, God used a donkey in the Old Testament. Remember the story of Balaam? He used a donkey. If he can use a donkey, he can use about anything. He can use a piece of dead tree bark, you know, and which is what paper is essentially, a piece of dead tree bark. And, and somebody can get saved. You know, we have programs after us tonight at midnight comes on J. Vernon McGee, I believe. Now, J. Vernon McGee's been with the Lord for years, and people are still coming to Christ listening to his program. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it's just an electronic recording.
I know. My brother likes listening to him.
Yeah. Again, it's the Word, just like you said, it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not the media, it's the words, the message.
Right, and I think, you know, I mean, I just think it's really important for people to grasp that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's not contingent. We're just to do what God, I mean, we're just told to share the gospel.
Right.
You know?
Obviously, some media is better suited to carrying the message than others. And that's where I believe a saved person that loves the Lord and has a burden for fellow human beings would be a better media, if you want to look at it that way, than an unsaved person. But even an unsaved person, just like God used a donkey, can carry a message from God.
Yeah. And so, but that's, you know, carrying the idea down the road a little bit. My point was that it's not true that you have to be saved to be a fisher of men.
Right.
It's just that you have to share the gospel because the power lies. So I just wanted to. I'm sorry. Can you repeat what that verse in John? You said it was John what?
That was the Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse 24.
Okay.
John 5, 24. And if somebody wants to get technical, though, somebody's probably saying, but Pastor Al, to be a fisher of men means you're going out purposely to reach souls. I was at a missions conference one time, and a missionary who had been serving the Lord in I think it was Mexico, and had served as a youth pastor or something like that for years, went forward during an invitation, during a missions conference, and said, you know what? I've never been saved. I just went through the motions because I grew up in church, and it was expected of me, and I need to put my faith in Christ. He was going out telling people how to get saved, and he had raised money and went to the mission field, and he said it was all, I was never saved. And that's an unusual case, but that is a perfect case of an unsaved person being a fisher of men, but how much better?
Wasn't Winfield and Wesley maybe that they weren't saved for years, but they preached salvation and they knew they weren't deceiving people or anything. They knew they weren't saved and they told people they weren't saved.
Yeah.
That's what I understood. I read about
both. Might have been one of them. I forget which one it was, but at any rate. But it's an interesting point you brought up tonight. I appreciate you calling in tonight, Diane.
Well, I appreciate your help.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing some clarity to that.
All right. I hope you call back in the future. Thank you so much. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. And we're going to get Nancy on here. I know we're coming up on the end of the hour. And we can, if need be, squeeze Nancy in at the top of the hour there. Nancy, thank you for waiting for us patiently tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. My subject tonight is regarding 1 John, 2nd chapter, in verses 15 and 16.
All right. You said verses 15, 16?
Mm-hmm. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to a person that doesn't know anything about the Bible, can you suggest to me how I can simplify those verses just to explain to someone the difference between a Christian and not a Christian? Because I think that a lost person really wouldn't understand those verses too well. If you have any suggestions on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, First John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, when it starts out, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world, of course, is opposed generally to the things of God, and because the world, you know, is cursed, and it's, you know, we've got this sinful condition of human beings that are in the world, and so obviously, if our care is more for the world, then, you know, that's not the love of God showing in us. Our care should be more for the things of God than the things of the world. And then we get into verse 16, for it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And in these three things that we see here, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this is stuff that appears, that appeals to the self. You know, the to the physical self, the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
What makes me feel good? What please, you know, that extra creamy looking cream puff over there that I know I shouldn't eat because I already had three donuts. I don't need that cream puff now. But I know it's gonna taste good. You know, your flesh wants it. That's the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. The lust of the eyes, we see things and we think, that's what I want. You know, billboards appeal to that, don't they? You know, the I remember somebody a long time ago, a preacher, talking about how you don't see a billboard advertising, you know, beer or whiskey or something like that with a bunch of people who are laying drunk in the gutter. You see a bunch of young, healthy-looking people having fun.
Uh-huh.
Lust of the eyes, I want that. And the pride of the life, it's just as that's just pride. I'm who I am, and my life is what I make it, and I'm happy with it. I pride of life, and that's not of God. That's not of the Father. Mm-hmm. That's of the world. It doesn't draw us towards God. It draws us away from God. Hey, Nancy, you got about 5 seconds left. Can you hold on for the beginning of the next show?
Oh,
all right.
Sure.
Stay tuned. We got another hour to go.
Summer 1787. Delegates gathered in Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation. Their efforts were at a standstill. It was hot, tempers were flaring, the Union was in danger of collapsing. On June 28th, an old man, Benjamin Franklin, addressed the president of the convention. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." With this reminder to seek God, our Constitution was born. Today, we've all but abandoned God in our nation. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. If our founding fathers realized they could not build a nation without God, what makes us think that we can keep a nation without God?
Over the last few decades, God's people have come to associate the rainbow with the LGBTQ community. But are we more conformed to the world than God's word? Revelation 4 tells us, "And there was a rainbow around God's throne." This July 28th through the 30th, join Rabbi Schneider as he leads a movement across the globe to take the rainbow back. Visit takingtherainbowback.com.
Dr. Michael Youssef with a word for you.
You might be a person who's running away from God. You might be an individual who is defiant to the will of God in your life. You might be an individual who's in denial of God's moral and ethical demands in your life and upon your business and upon your family. And now you're on your back, kicking with all four. The Good Shepherd wants to restore you. Will you let him?
Leading the Way, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. here on The Word and Odyssey.com.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland, encouraging you to head back to church this Sunday. A service of Salem Media Group. Truth for Life. Weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on The Word.
In those days, 10 men from all the nations will take hold of the garment of a Jew and say, "We want to go with you, for we know that God is with you." Join Messianic Jewish evangelist Rabbi Kurt Schneider as he shares authentic teaching from the Old and New Testaments, unfolding revelation today for your brighter tomorrow on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.
Weekdays at 4:30 on The Word, thewordcleveland.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673.